to the book of the Revelation, chapter number 16. Revelation chapter 16, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. Revelation chapter number 16. The Bible says, "And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had had the mark of the beast, and upon them which had worshipped the image, his image. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and became as blood, the blood of a dead man. And every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath the power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he which watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. And he gathereth them into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, it is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings. And there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts. And the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great." I want you to take note of what the Bible says in verse number 1. It says, the vials of the wrath of God. And I want to preach on that tonight. The vials of the wrath of God. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we do thank you for your love. Lord, I realize how much you care for us and how you want to speak to us and help us and strengthen us. And tonight, Lord, I realize my inability, how feeble I am in thought. Lord, I realize my need of you. So God, I'm asking that you'll help me tonight to say what needs to be said. And I pray that every heart, every soul that's in this place would hear some things that would help them tonight. And if there be one here tonight that's never trusted Christ as Savior, I pray that this would be that night. I pray, Lord, they'd realize how much you love them. Lord, how you gave your only begotten Son to die on the cross for their sins. Lord, by faith, they can put their trust in you. And Lord, they too can have the promise and the assurance of heaven. Lord, forgive me for my many failures and my faults. Lord, I pray that you'll strengthen me, that I may be a better servant for thee. Hide me, Lord, behind the cross, and tonight may we hear from thee. For it's in Christ's name we do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. The book of the Revelation is such an interesting book. We started in it a long time ago, and we've taken breaks from it. And we've come back to it and taken breaks from it. You come to sermons like this and you see some things and you just realize the severity of it all. You realize that there's a day coming which I'm so grateful that I will not have to face. A day that's ahead that certainly is a day filled with horror and terror. And as we go through the book of the Revelation, we see many things and many events that take place. And sometimes we go through it and we scratch our head and we say, I wonder what that means. And then other times we look and we realize this is what this means. So as you study the Bible and you study the book of the Revelation, sometimes you just have to take it and go with it. And then sometimes you just have to realize we're not going to understand it all until we're in heaven. And when we're in heaven, it'll all be all right, won't it? So when we think about the vials of the wrath of God, I want us to look at this here tonight. We see in this chapter the seven angels that have come from the temple. We read that in chapter number 15. One of the four beasts, as they were coming from the temple, was given each of these angels a vial full of the wrath of God. And the events of this chapter are things that seem to happen very rapidly in very quick succession, if you will. In other words, it's going to be the first angel is going to come and pour out his vial, and then very quickly after that, the second angel is going to come, and then very quickly after that, the third angel, and so on and so on. And so we begin to realize the rapidness and truly the grace of God in some of this, as far as for those saints that are here during that time, those that have kept their faith in God and have not accepted the mark of the beast, he shortens the time. And the Bible teaches us that he'll do such a thing as that. But this is going to bring to an end something that's been going on since the days of the Babylonian captivity. You realize the Bible teaches us about the times of the Gentiles. And that began under the leadership of Nebuchadnezzar when Jerusalem fell into the hands of the Gentiles. And when this comes to an end, we're seeing the end of this times. We're going to also see the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the seven vials are poured out and the fulfillment of God's wrath has taken place here in this world, it will mark the end of the time of the Gentiles, and it'll also mark the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth. So in this chapter, we see these angels as they pour out the divine judgment of God's wrath. And I want us to look tonight at just two or three things, but it's going to take a little while. We're going to look at all these different vials. I want you to see, first of all, the wrath of God. The wrath of God. Each of these vials, as we look tonight, are full of the wrath of God, the Bible says. And as we look at this, we realize that there are certain similarities to these plagues, these vials of wrath. There are similarities to the plagues that were sent upon the Egyptians in the book of Exodus. We see some things that sound familiar. There are also similarities to the seven trumpet judgments that we've read of earlier here in the book of the Revelation. And as we've already learned, there were seven seals, and the seventh opened up to the seven trumpets. The seventh revealed the seven trumpet judgments. When the seventh trumpet sounded, that opened up the seven vial judgments, which is where we are tonight. So remember that as you study this, and it helps you as you're going through the book of Revelation to get a better understanding, and you realize that there are times when there's not a chronological order going on. It stops and it gives you a commentary, if you will, on certain events that are to happen. Well, we look at this tonight and we see that the seventh trumpet is sounded, and we realize that seven vials have been revealed. And I want you to take note of the wrath of God found in each of these vials. And there may be some similarities between the Old Testament plagues, and there may be some similarities to the seven trumpets. But I want to tell you something. There's no similarity as to the severity of the judgments. These judgments are much more severe than the seven trumpet judgments. And even more severe than the judgment upon the Egyptians all those years ago, as we read of back in the book of Exodus. I want you to see with me in verse number 2 what the Bible says concerning the first vial. The Bible says, and the first went out, talking about the first angel, first went out and poured out his vial upon the earth. And there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. So we see here that when this first angel pours out his vial, that he pours it out upon the earth. And the Bible teaches us that when he pours this out, that there's sores upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which had worshipped his image. These were not just some little sores. These were not something where you just knock something and you get a little scab and that's the sore. These were like boils, if you will. These were malignant sores. They were things which were evil and malignant. And the Bible says they were noisome and grievous. And no doubt they were covered from head to toe. Anybody here ever had a boil? Anybody? A few? I've never had one. And I praise the Lord for that. I never want one. I'll never forget my granny told me one time. She said she had a friend of hers that said, "You know what? I've heard of people having boils." A friend told her, said, "I've heard of people having boils." And they talked about how bad they hurt. She said, "I just couldn't imagine a boil hurting that bad." She said, "I'd like to get one just to see if they hurt as bad as they do." And she said that lady got one right on the end of her nose. And she said after that, she decided she never wanted another boil. She got one. Sometimes you get what you ask for, don't you? Now, can you imagine those of you that have had a boil? And I've had certain sores that were very painful, and I've had certain infections that were very, very painful and up under the skin, and realize how terrible that was. But the Bible teaches us that this is going to be a vial that is poured out upon the earth, and the Bible says that men are going to be filled up. They're going to be full and covered with these boils, these grievous and noisome sores from head to toe. Now, who is it that's going to be covered? Those that have accepted the mark of the beast. Those that have worshipped the image of the beast. And we've already studied that and we've already looked at that. And tonight I want you to realize this is a terrible judgment upon the earth. But then I want you to see the second vial as it's poured out. The Bible says in verse number 3, "And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man. And every living soul died in the sea." Earlier in the book of Revelation, we saw as one third of the sea became blood and a third of the creatures died, back in chapter number 8. But this time, the second angel pours out his vial upon the sea, and all that's in the sea becomes as the whole sea becomes as the blood of a dead man. And every living thing that's in the sea dies. Imagine about that. Can you imagine what it must have smelled like and the stench? How many remembers when red tide rolled through? Anybody ever go, was y'all at the shores at all when red tide came through? Remember all the warnings. I know some of you were. And all the dead fish, it stunk. Well, can you imagine the whole sea has turned into the blood of a dead man? All the living creatures that are in the sea die. This is the finality of God's judgment, by the way. We're coming down to the end of it all. We're going to see a new heaven and a new earth, thank God. But we realize that these are things that must happen. And you say, how could a loving God bring such judgment? We'll see that in just a moment. We see that the whole sea becomes as the blood of a dead man. Then I want you to see the next thing in verse number 4 as we see the third plague. The Bible says, "And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains of waters, and they became blood." So we see this third angel comes, and as he's commanded by God, he takes his vial and he pours out his vial, and all the rivers, all the lakes, all the springs, all the fountains become blood. Now, I think we all realize tonight the need for water to sustain life. We understand that there's no doubt that water is necessary for us to live and for us to be able to go day by day. But now all sources of water have been contaminated. The sea, the rivers, the fountains of waters, which would be the lakes and the springs. So now there's no source, there's no supply. So, and then you've got to realize, not only do humans need that supply of water, so do the animals. The creatures of the sea may be dead, but maybe the fowls of the air and the cattle of the field, they need to have some nourishment and they need to have water. And so all the food supply is getting ready to be gone or to be contaminated as they drink of this liquid that's blood. And so we begin to see what's going on. You remember what happened? Was it not the beast? Was it not Satan, the dragon, the beast, the false prophet? Was it not them who withheld food from all the saints if they did not accept the mark of the beast and did not worship the image? God is now showing them some things. He is showing them who the true and the living God is. He's raining down judgment. This Antichrist and false prophet, they may have withheld food, but God, in His grace, sustained those that trusted Him through it all. Now, as the food supply is quickly going away, I can only imagine what fights are going on in this world to try to get what supplies there are. You know what? They may seem to have been united at one time, but I have a feeling that all of that being united is about to fall apart. You know? It's all about to come to an end, and they begin to realize it's each man for himself now. And then all of a sudden, in the midst of these vials of judgment, I want you to notice what happens. In the midst of this vial of God's wrath being poured out, there's a voice. The Bible says in verse number 5, it says, "And I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because Thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and Thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy." So this angel, the angel of the water, proclaims the righteous judgments of God. And remember, God is no longer dealing in grace. He's dealing with judgment. The days of grace are over now. We're living in the day of grace. We're living in a time of grace. That's why it's so vital that you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ now. Because this is a day of grace. But at this time, the church has been called out of here. And we realize the judgment of God, the wrath of God is being poured out. And it looks so terrible and so horrible. But the angel of the water said, "You're righteous, O Lord." In other words, he was proclaiming the righteous judgment of God. He was proclaiming that everything that God was doing was correct and proper. And these are the ones that have shed the blood of many of the saints of God and of the prophets of God. And they're getting what they deserve because they would not turn to God. By the way, God is a God of grace, and His desire, you know what He said? He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. How could a loving God do such a terrible thing? I want to tell you how much God loves you and how much God loves the world. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You know what the Bible says? That God gave the best He had, and He gave all that He had, so that men and women and boys and girls can know for sure that heaven's going to be their home. The reason this judgment has to come is because people reject the love and the mercy of God. And they have chosen to put faith in self instead of faith in the Savior. And now they're going to face the judgment for that. God's long-suffering. God's merciful. But the Bible teaches us that there's a day that God's mercy and long-suffering will be over, and His judgment will come. So we have to understand this. The Bible says in verse number 7, "And I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are Thy judgments." Another out of the altar. So John's seeing some things, and now he's hearing some things. He heard the voice of the angel of the waters as he cried out and said, "Your judgments are true. Your judgments are righteous. They are worthy of what they're facing. They are worthy of what they're getting. They are worthy of the judgment that's coming." But then out of the altar, there comes another voice. Could it be one of those martyred saints that we found back in chapter number 6, verse number 10? Those that whose lives have been taken by these evil ones, these wicked ones, and now they have been martyred and they're under the altar, the Bible teaches us in chapter 6, verse 10, and they cry, "How long, O Lord? How long? How long shall it be? How long, holy and true, dost Thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? How long?" Maybe it's one of those that's saying, "Even so, Lord God Almighty, True and righteous are thy judgments. It certainly could be one of those. But regardless of who it is, we realize that they're proclaiming that God is the mighty God, and He's true and He's righteous and His judgments are pure. And we see the fourth vow. The Bible says in verse number 8, "And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And the men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath the power over these plagues." So we see as the fourth angel pours out his vial that's full of God's wrath, and he pours it out upon the sun. What an unusual thing. Upon the sun. Back in chapter number 8, verse 12, we saw a third part of the sun was darkened, but this time we see the sun is intensified. The heat's turned up, if you will. We see as this vial of God's wrath is poured out upon the sun, the Bible says it literally scorches men with fire. Many of us have said during the hot summer days, especially in Tampa, it's a scorcher out there today. You ever said anything like that? I imagine most of us have said something like that. I want to tell you something. This is going to be a day not comparable to the hottest day this world's ever known. It's going to be a time when the heat of the sun is going to be turned up. And we may have seen some hot days, and history may have recorded some high record temperatures, but they'll be nothing compared to this time during the wrath of God. Then I want you to see the fifth angel, verse number 10. The Bible says, "The fifth angel poured out his wrath, his vial upon the sea of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain." He pours out his vial on the seat of the beast. That's the very throne of the wicked one. The very place. And when he pours it out, the Bible says that the whole kingdom of this beast is smitten with darkness and great pain. I imagine the pain is still from the scorching of the sun. Just think about it. The sun has been intensified, and now it's totally dark. What a contrast. The heat could still be going on. Did you realize that scientists have proved that they can have a fire so hot that you cannot even see it? Isn't that amazing? Fire that hot? When I think about that, and I think about the judgment of God, and I think about how holy and true and loving and kind He is, I think about these that have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, have mocked and made fun, and laughed at the name of God, and laughed at the blood of Christ. And I think about the horror that they're going to be facing. I don't glory in what I read. As a matter of fact, it saddens me to think that people would reject God and His love and have to face such a day as this. The Bible teaches us that the pain was so bad that they were gnawing their tongues. You ever seen somebody do that? I've seen people that in such great pain, they would gnaw their tongues. In emergency rooms, there have been people who've gnawed their tongues, literally bitten their tongues in two because of great pain, trying to bear the pain. That's what's going to be going on. Then we see the sixth angel pouring out his vial. Verse 12, the Bible says, "And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared." So here comes the sixth angel. The voice out of the temple said, "It's time." The first angel comes and pours out his vial. The second angel comes, pours out his vial. The third angel comes and pours out his vial. The fourth angel, the fifth angel, the sixth angel comes. And when the sixth angel comes and pours out his vial, he pours it out upon the great river Euphrates. And when he does, an unusual thing happens. The Bible says that the great river Euphrates What a mighty river it is. Dries up. What an amazing scene that would be. Just think about it, Euphrates. They estimate it to be about 1,800 miles in length. 1,800 miles. 3,600 feet wide in some places. Now, it's dried up. Euphrates is certainly a significant river. There's no doubt. It's the river of the Old Testament. Boundaries of kingdoms, if you will. It was the line that marked the east from the west, and still does. When we talk about those of the east and those of the west, we realize this line that's given to us, these civilizations. There's been many things take place at the River Euphrates, but when it dries up, it has a purpose. It's preparing the way for the kings of the east, and as verse 14 says, the kings of the earth and the whole world to come across, because there's a war that's going to be fought. There's a battle that's coming. And this would have impeded those trying to come through. This would have kept those from being able to make it through. There's a parenthetical statement here in verse 13, 14, 15, and 16. You know, we've talked about these things where there's like a parenthesis, if you will, just to give a little bit of a description of maybe something that's getting ready to happen. And the Bible says in verse 13, "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, now the mouth of the beast, now the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of devils. They are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day," that great day of God Almighty. "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathereth them into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon." So we see that this parenthetical section, this portion of Scripture, is describing the coming of the battle of Armageddon. Verse 13, the Bible says, "Three demons come out of the mouths of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet." And they go, these demons go to the kings of the earth and of the whole world. And they're gathering them together to the battle of the day, of the great day, that great day of God Almighty. Where are they going to? Armageddon. What a place Armageddon is. It's where Josiah was killed. Go read the book of Judges. You're going to see great battles took place. I believe it was Napoleon that said, this would be the greatest place there could be for all the world to come and fight one big battle. Well, his day is coming. That truth is not far around the corner, is it? So we see this battle of Armageddon. And we'll talk more about that in future study. No doubt we'll get into that in chapter number 19 in greater detail. But then I want you to see the seventh angel and the seventh vial. The Bible says in verse 17, "And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, It is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings. And there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague, the hail. For the plague thereof was exceeding great." So we see the seventh angel comes and he pours out his vial into the air. Out into the air. But when he does, there's a voice that comes from the temple, from out of the temple of heaven. And when this voice sounds, the Bible says there's voices and thunderings, lightnings, and a great earthquake. Not like anything the world has ever seen. We've seen some earthquakes, but it will not compare to what you're going to see. We've seen lightning here especially, but it won't be anything compared to this. We've heard thunders. Some probably heard voices. No doubt. But we have to understand this is true. These things are going to happen. The highest recorded earthquake as far as the Richter scale is concerned is 8.9. Can you imagine? 8.9. Say, what would that do? Well, we would be out in the ocean if one like that took place here. The greatest loss of life to an earthquake, January the 23rd, 1556, in Xinzhou, the province of China, an earthquake killed 830,000 people. Isn't that amazing? It'll be nothing compared to the earthquake that's going to take place. The Bible says that such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. Verse 19 through 21 talks about the great destruction on the earth. The Bible says islands fled away, mountains disappeared. Think about it. All of this is the vials of the wrath of God. Do you see what that says? It says hell falls upon men. Each stone weighs about a talent. You know how much that is? About 100 pounds. You know, we've talked about golf ball size hell. We're talking about 100 pounds of hell, each piece falling out of the sky. Sure is good to be saved, isn't it? Sure is good to know that heaven's mine and I'm going to be there when all these things are taking place. So we see the cup of the wine of the fierceness of His wrath. So we've seen the wrath of God. Now, very quickly, I want you to see the words of the Lord. We've seen the wrath of God. Number two, I want you to see the words of the Lord. I promise you, these two are very simple. The words of the Lord. Notice what the Bible says in verse number one. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God on the earth. So the first words we see of God in this chapter is pour out the wrath. The second time we see Him speaking is in verse number 15. When He said, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. What does the Bible teach us about the Lord Jesus? He comes as a thief in the night, right? So we see the Lord speaking here and He says, I'm coming back. And He said, the first time He says, I want you to pour out the wrath. The second thing He says, I said, I want you to keep yourself pure. Isn't that what He's talking about here? Keep his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And then the third thing He says, it's in verse number 17. He says, it is done. It is done. You remember what Christ proclaimed on the cross of Calvary? Jesus said from the cross of Calvary as He was hanging there, it is finished. The work that Christ came to do here in this world was finished. But now we see the work of God in judgment is done. The time of the tribulation, it's done. This will bring to the end of tribulation. It is done. It will bring to the end the time of the Gentiles. It is done. God's final act before the return of Christ is done. We've seen the wrath of God. We've seen the words of the Lord. Then finally, I want you to see the wickedness of men. A lot of people believe that if men would just see the terror and the judgment of God, if He would open up heaven and open up the future and allow us to see it with our own eyes, that people would repent. They would change their mind concerning their need for God. But notice what the Bible says in verse number 9. It says, and men were scorched with great heat and blaspheme the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give Him glory, So we see the wickedness of men. We've seen the wrath of God. We've seen the words of the Lord. Now we see the wickedness of men. As men are seeing the scorching heat from God, as they're seeing the judgment of God and the terror of God, the Bible says they blaspheme the name of God, and they will not, even to this point, they will not give Him glory. But there is a day coming when they will bow before Him. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 11, after it's talking about how He poured the vial upon the seed of the beast, and the Bible says that they gnawed their tongues for pain. The Bible says, and they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they repented not their deeds. And the Bible says in verse number 21, and there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. Think about it. So sad to see the wickedness of men. Instead of crying out for mercy, they cursed God. Instead of crying out for forgiveness, they blasphemed His name. Instead of realizing their wickedness, they repented not. We see these things. And even in the day that we're living, as we see the wickedness of men in this day, we see God being blasphemed. And I want you to know the only hope for people like that is they have to repent. They have to change their mind. They have to come to the point where they realize they need the Lord. Amen. They have to put their faith in God. There's no doubt that the fullness of God's wrath is coming. And the day of grace, it's going to be gone one day, and the day of judgment is going to come. The church will be taken away. The Holy Spirit will not be working in the same way that He's doing during the age of grace. And I want you to know tonight, friend, we must know that we're saved and have a right relationship with God. We must be faithful witnesses and tell others of Christ and His love. We must work while it's day. The day is far spent. The night is at hand. The night's coming when no man can work. There's a day going to come, and it's going to be too late to tell those that you know need to hear the story about Jesus. The time of God's wrath will come, and it will be too late for so many people. May God help us tonight. With heads bowed and eyes closed, thank you for listening. I appreciate it so much. I know sometimes going through this is so difficult to hear. But I believe that God's given us great things to help us to understand His mercy and grace. He's shown us these things so that we can be prepared to help others to know their need for Christ, and so that we'll get a burden for the souls of men and women and boys and girls, and tell others about Jesus. Tonight, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Where you're seated right now, I want you to ask yourself, do I have the right relationship with Jesus Christ? Do I have just a head knowledge? I know who He is, or do I have a heart knowledge? Have I trusted Him as my Savior? By faith, have I trusted Jesus Christ and Him alone? If you can say, yes, I've trusted Christ tonight, then I just want to say thank the Lord for that. Hallelujah. I want you to understand, according to the Bible, you will certainly not be around during these terrible days. The church is gone. You'll be with the Lord in heaven. But if you're here tonight and you don't know for sure that heaven's going to be your home, Jesus died for you. Died on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago. The reason He died was because of your sin and my sin. There was a day in my life when I trusted Christ, and others that are in this building, if they know they're going to heaven, there was a day in their life where they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Many of us thought it would be the hardest thing in the world to do is to trust Christ or to swallow pride and to pray and ask Jesus and to live the life that He would have us to live. But we found that after we put our faith in Christ, it was the greatest day of our life, and that He's there to help us to live the kind of life we need to live. He shows us where we're wrong, and He encourages us when we're right. He's a wonderful Savior, and He loves you so much. Those of us that are saved tonight, how about it? Are we telling others about Christ? There's people you know that if Jesus were to come today, would have to go through these terrible judgments. And if we've never been faithful enough to the Lord to speak to them about Christ, their blood would be on our hands. Oh, may the Lord help us tonight. Father, please have Your way. Lord, may we respond as You speak to our hearts. Lord, may we do the right thing. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I do pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. What page, Brother Chris?
343.
343. We'll work.